Hello, I'm Mike King, and you're listening to an extended clip from episode 24 of the Freight Buyers Club. In this segment, I'm talking to Torsten Hartmann, Senior Director for Trade Management on the Trans-Pacific at Hapag-Lloyd. We're talking about the carrier's forthcoming new liner network agreement, the Gemini Cooperation, with Maersk, which starts operations in 2025. Big thanks to Demerco Express Group for supporting independent journalism. Enjoy. The Gemini Cooperation, I hinted at it a little bit just now. At the start of next year, the 2M alliance between Maersk and MSC ends. MSC goes it alone, and Maersk joins Hapag-Lloyd in a partnership called the Gemini Cooperation. What does this mean on the Trans-Pacific trades for your customers?
What it means on the Trans-Pacific trade is that we're trying to make a new beginning, so to speak. I think a lot of customers over the past many years have seen that we as container carriers, we have continuously not been able to deliver a very good product to our customers. So for all a number of reasons, the reliability has just been on the decline for a very, very long time. So we're trying to flip the whole thing around and say, how can we actually provide a better product to customers? So what we are doing is that we're trying to simplify the network that we're operating. So rather than operating a lot of networks that has a lot of ports of call, we're trying to make it into fewer networks with fewer ports of call, and then have this hub and spoke concept that we're able to isolate if there's any operational disruptions, and there will be for sure. We're not going to get away with those, is that, but we have built in sufficient buffer into our network that we're able to absorb that, so that instead of calling six ports in Asia, we may call only three ports in Asia, and therefore cut down on the friction points, so to speak, and be able to move away around that and then leave some of those things to our shuttles. And the more frequency we have there, we will see actually less delay. If you look at our total volume, 85% of our volume would actually see a same or better transit times as it is, even though we are building the buffers. Of course, there will be ports that we are covering directly today, which in the future will be from a transshipment point of view. We will do our very best to ensure that we can still deliver the 90% that we have set out to do.
I'll come back to the hub and spoke system. Just looking at the service map, so the information I could find, you're going to have 19 ports covered in Asia and 17 in the US on 9 services and using 93 vessels. If that's correct, how does that compare to port coverage now in terms of number of ports serviced? I presume less, and particularly on transit times, because if you're using a hub and spoke system, you're relying on a load of feeder operators, you've got to do transshipment. You've got less direct calls, so it must mean longer transit times.
Actually, it does not mean longer transit times compared to what the actual transit times are today. I think we see a lot of carriers advertising transit times, and then in reality, the actual transit times are significantly longer than what is being advertised. So what we're trying to do is to be up and honest with customers and say, this is how much time it takes to go from this port to this port. But you can now depend on us to do this every week. So when you see a lot of carriers today, including our existing alliance, where we say, well, we have a sailing, but then next week we don't have a sailing because that ship got delayed 4 weeks ago in Asia and so on. What we will be trying to do is that we're saying, yes, it's true. The transit time from Shanghai to LA will be X days. And that's the reality. But what we want to deliver is we want to deliver reliability. So we want to be able that the customer can depend on that every single week we have a service that will take the cargo from this port to that port. And that is, I think, what is important to the customers is that whether it takes 14 days or 18 days, that's not so important. But if they can rely on things arriving every Thursday, that's much more important from a supply chain planning perspective.
And you think people are willing to pay for that more reliable service?
I think so, yes. And also, we certainly received a lot of very good interest for the product already. So I'm very confident that we will see some positive coming out of this.
I've interviewed so many shippers and they always say they always want to pay more for a better service, but they always seem to go for the lower price as well.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, there's always this balance between things and so on. At least we would like to be that when they have a choice, and of course they have a choice, the customers, is that they would go for reliability. Maybe that we have the same pricing, but at least then we will be the first choice because we have a more reliable service. And that's what we're aiming to do.
The reliability promise when Gemini Cooperation was announced was 90% service reliability. As I think that was a promise, but you can clarify. I think in your strategy 2030, it's 80%. But these plans were hatched before the Red Sea crisis, and we've just spent quite a lot of time talking about how stretched liner networks are. Is this even feasible? And just for some background for listeners, most carriers, including Hapag-Lloyd, have for most of the year been operating around about 50 to 60% schedule reliability. I think that's correct.
Yes, that is correct. Is that we're still very, very far away from the 90% that we're doing. So even with the Red Sea crisis, we're not going to compromise on what we will try to achieve with in terms of reliability. But of course, as you talked to also, is that the number of ships that we will require to sail south of Africa means that in for at least as long as that lasts, we will need to be able to reduce the number of services that we can offer simply because we need more ships to run the services. But the promise or the ambition to kind of go to a much more reliable product remains. So it's not like we will compromise on the reliability because we're still sailing south of Africa. We'll try and deliver that, but maybe we, instead of having 5 services, we will only have 4 services. But we will then invest those ships into making sure that the products that we sail will become as reliable as we possibly can make them.
So there's no rollback on the 80, 90% promise then?
No.
You're not waiting for the Red Sea crisis to be solved?
No, we still set out to do also sailing south of Africa if you still want to deliver that product.
Okay, back to the hub and spoke. Is that a risk for you? I don't know how that works with your suppliers in the US, but I've been covering hub and spoke system for a while. You know, it's only as strong as its weakest partner. How much of that feeder capacity are you going to operate and control yourself? Or do you see that as a risk? You see what I mean?
So we will have a combination of things we operate together with Maersk, as well as feeders and so on that are operated by third parties. But all the most important trunk lines will be operated by ourselves so that we will be able to control, you know, the schedules of these. In some cases, we are also able to control the hubs. So if you take an example like in Asia, Tanjung Pilapas, we're able to control the hub. Maersk is an owner of that terminal. So we're able to plan things more efficiently and also maybe change the sequence of ships and so on to ensure that the reliability is there. So that's our plan, is that we want to use those areas where we can control things, they'll be able to make the difference and make sure that we can actually then deliver a better product.
And is there anything stopping the Gemini cooperation starting operations at the start of 2025? I think the Federal Maritime Commission, I know this is a bit of a box ticking exercise normally, but they did ask for a bit more information. Are you expecting everything to proceed?
We're definitely expecting everything to proceed. I think this is they're doing their due diligence. They're also responsible to the public in the US. And I think that, you know, that's the process that we follow. And we will, of course, answer any questions they have. I don't see any reason why they should not be able to move ahead as planned.